Today we are going to learn from the 2 Kings chapter 17. There is a story about the king of Israel, Hosea. This king was not a good king. He was giving some kind of tribute money to the king of Assyria. And when you start giving money to somebody, a foreign king, they take advantage of you. And that's what happened. And so we are going to study a little bit. Go to the 2 Kings chapter 17, start reading from verse 1 and 2, or 1 to 3.
In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hoshea, the son of Elah, to reign in Samaria over Israel. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the kings of Israel that were before him. Against him came up Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, and Hoshea became his servant and gave him presents.
Here we see king of Israel gave the money to king of Syria. Now here it says a gift or tribute to shut the Assyrian king's mouth, because that king was giving hard time to so many other kingdoms. So the king of Israel, he got scared of the king of Assyria, and so he gave him some money. When you are afraid of the enemy, you got the fear is going to kill you. Fear is going to destroy you. The word of God says, God has not given us the spirit of fear. He has given us the power, love, and sound mind. This king is not trusting in God. He is afraid. So he starts giving money. Now what happens when you start giving money to shut somebody's mouth? You have seen so many stories going around in the world like that. And so they want more money, or they will take advantage of you. And now he wants to make a friendship with the king of Egypt. Both things are wrong in the sight of God. Children of God came from Egypt. You don't go to Egypt and make friendship with the Egypt's king. Read the verse 4.
And the king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to So king of Egypt and brought no present to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore, the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison.
See now, when the money is not given, the man got angry and he arrested him and put him in a prison. And so, somebody will say, why God allowed these things to happen? Because today also, if something wrong happened to any country, anyone, anyone's house, or children, or any problem comes, they are not going to check if there is any mistake they did. They are going to say, why God did this to us? And people finding fault on God. But see what the word of God is saying. What was the problem? Start reading from verse 7.
For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods, and walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel, and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God, and they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to... And they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green. And there they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen, whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they served idols, whereof the Lord had said unto them, ye shall not do this. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes, according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks, like to the neck of their fathers, that did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes, and his covenant that he made with their fathers, and his testimonies which he testified against them. And they followed vanity, and became vain, and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them, that they should not do like. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served Baal. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire, and used divination and enchantments, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel, and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. Also Judah kept not the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel, which they made. And the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel, and afflicted them, and delivered them into the hand of spoilers, until he had cast them out of his sight. For he rent Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king. And Jeroboam drave Israel from following the Lord, and made them sin a great sin. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They departed not from them, until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants, the prophets. So was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto the...
Now you see how many sins, horrible sins, not only not worshipping God, start going against God and doing idol worship, and they did not stop there. They start sacrificing their children, doing all kinds of witchcraft, divination. All of these things they did. Judah also did not learn anything from other people's mistake. So all these people now going to captivity. God gave so many chances. We learn he sent the prophets. He sent the messengers. He tried to correct them. They don't want to correct. Same thing happening today. People do not want to change. Now see what happens. This king took these people from their land, and now he bringing all the foreigners to their land to spoil their land and destroy their land. So those people, whatever the remnants were there, they can learn more about heathen rituals and heathen things. Let's read a little bit further from verse 24.
And the king of Syria brought men from Babylon, and from Cutha, and from Ava, and from Hamath, and from Sepharvaim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they possessed Samaria, and dwelt in the cities thereof. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which slew some of them.
Can you imagine? Now when these foreigners came and they start doing against God, and everybody start doing against God, so God was so angry, he sent the lions to kill these people. Can you imagine lions coming to city and killing people? God can do anything. You remember, we learn about Elisha, those children came and say, "Hey, bald-headed man, why don't you go up?" And they start harassing him. Two she-bears came and tear this 42 children, means youngsters, and maybe kill them or destroy them. And so God was so angry, so mad at these people, what they're doing. So he sends the lions, and lions came and destroy all these people. Now, we are looking about another king. Let's go to the chapter 18 and start reading from verse 1 to 8. This is the king Hezekiah.
Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places, and brake the images, and cut down the groves, and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan.
Can you imagine? You remember why God told Moses to make the serpent, brazen serpent, and when the people start dying because of the serpent were biting them, Moses says, lift up your eyes and look at this serpent and you will live. And so they did, and they lived. And we already studied, so I'm not going to repeat this. So now those people didn't understand the meaning. They just got healed by faith, and that was the sign that Jesus Christ will be someday be crucified. But these people took that Moses sign and start worshiping, and they named that some heathen god's name to that statue and start praying. So King Hezekiah destroyed that.
He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Syria, and served him not.
Okay. Now here we see, this man comparing to the king of Israel is a good man. He's doing everything right. He was not serving that man, was not doing anything. But somehow, that king start harassing this king of Judah also, means Hezekiah. So that time, he should have said, hey, my God is greater than you. Don't bother me. But he did something wrong. Let's read verse 14 to 16, same chapter.
And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, I have offended. Return from me. That which thou puttest on me will I bear. And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. And Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house. At that time did Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid, and gave it to the king of Assyria.
Can you imagine? This Hezekiah, God said this man is a good man and gave a good testimony and he was doing everything right. But then he got scared and start giving gold and silver. But when you calculate it, it's millions, hundreds of millions of dollars of worth gold and silver. It says gold was 172 million 800,000 dollars worth. Now today's money, it might be $1 billion or more. And the same way, the silver he gave, 150 million 200,000 dollars worth silver. We read wherever gold was, scraping everything from the pillars and everywhere from the temple and gave it to him. Maybe he promised that much money and could not come with money, so he has to get everything he can find. And so that was not nice what he did. We are learning something. If you serve the Lord, you do not have to be afraid of any man. You have to believe that God is our helper. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6.
So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me.
I just said a few minutes ago, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but He has given us power, love, and sound mind. Then who gives the fear? Fear comes from the enemy. The enemy is the devil. The Word of God says in John chapter 10, verse 10, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come to give you life and more abundant lives. So see the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament also, if you read the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 7, it says the enemy will come to harass you, to destroy you. They will come one way, and they will run seven ways.
The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways.
Okay, now, we don't have time to read this whole chapter, but I will advise you when you go home, read this chapter from verse 1 to verse 14. And if you start reading after 14 or 15, then all the curses are given. But 1 to 13, all the blessings of God are given. To whom? Whoever obeys His commandments and listen to Him and do according to His will, all the blessings are there. And so we learn Hezekiah was blessed. Whatever he was doing was prosperous. God was with him. And everything was going well with him. But when he started thinking, oh, King of Israel is already in prison, and now that king will come and destroy me, so let me give him some money. And so I will shut his mouth, and he will not do harm to me. And he did so wrong, not only a little bit, but millions of dollars he gave it to him, taking, scraping everything from even the house of God. And so, when we doubt God's power, and when we start thinking negative, the negative things will happen to us. Double-minded man will not get anything from the Lord. Even though he prays, the prayer will not be answered, because you have a fear and doubt in your heart. And so, now King's problem now, he gave a lot of money, and now see what happens. Okay, let's go to the 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 29 to 37.
Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me, and then eat ye every man of his own vine, and every one of his fig tree, and drink ye every one the waters of his cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of oil, olive, and of honey, that ye may live and not die. And hearken not unto Hezekiah when he persuadeth you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria?
Now see, this Assyrian king coming and giving the lecture to the Hezekiah's people. He says, don't listen to Hezekiah. If Hezekiah says, God is going to deliver, don't listen. And I'm going to take you to the better land, and I'm going to supply your needs. And so, he's trying to say, your God has no power. I destroyed so many other gods and other nations. Not a single god was able to rescue them from my hand. So, your God has no power. So, what you do, give me some money. bring some gifts, and I will keep you, and I will take you to the better land. And if he has a lot of goods in his land, why he coming and asking money from us? Why cannot he produce money selling all his goods and be rich in his own land? Why he's coming after us? Nobody has some kind of thoughts. You know, many people try to say something good about themselves. So he is trying to say, I'm the better king. I'm the better man. I destroyed so many kingdoms. Nobody's king, nobody's God rescued them from my hand. So, even though your king Hezekiah will say God will deliver, don't listen to him. Listen to me. Go ahead.
Where are the gods of Hamath and of Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Eva? Have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who are they among all the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of mine hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of mine hand? But the people held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was, saying, answer him not. Then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph the recorder, to Hezekiah with their clothes rent, and told him the words of Rabshakeh.
King was so afraid, so king said to his people, don't say anything to him. Let him say whatever he says. And so this man said blasphemy, whatever he can, and then the priest, they got scared. They're in their clothes, and now they're coming to king to say this is what's happening. Let's go to the next chapter. Chapter 19. Start reading from verse 1.
And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord.
Now, this time, he came to know, I gave the silver, I gave the gold, and now this man is not satisfied, and he is trying to harass me and my people, so he goes to the temple to pray. Let's read verse 2.
And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble, and of rebuke, and blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria his master hath sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah.
Instead of praying, he is sending the scribes to the Isaiah, and he says, pray to your God, and God might answer you. So see here, king was good, doing everything according to the will of God. Now he got so much fear in his heart, he could not even pray. Going to church and thinking about his enemy. People sometimes, they go to church with the trouble and they are not listening to the message. They're waiting until where the prayer time comes and I'll ask the prayer. But the word of God says, the words of God has power to heal and deliver. But they're going to Isaiah. The Isaiah is a prophet, so the Isaiah comes and gives them the message. Let's read further.
And Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. And when he heard say of Tirhaka, king of Ethiopia, "Behold, he is come out to fight against thee," he sent messengers again unto Hezekiah.
Okay, now see what happened here. Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Don't be worried about this Assyrian king. God is going to do some miracles. He's going to hear some rumors. And then he's going to get out of this land, and God will take care of him, and he will die in his land." Very clearly he said. And so now Hezekiah has to believe it. Once the man of God or the word of God gives you encouragement, then you believe it. Sometimes you are searching for scriptures, and God gives you scriptures, and sometimes when you're reading it, "Oh, this is not for me." And we close the book. Here the Isaiah very clearly said what is going to happen to this king. Don't be afraid. He's going to hear the rumors. He's going to go back to his country. And he's going to kill in his own land. So he should be thanking God and praising God and just forget about that enemy. But this man was very tricky. He got the problem that somebody is going to attack him. So he said, "I'm going to bother these people more so I can get some more money or I can get something from them." So what happens? Let's read verse 10.
"Thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, Let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands, by destroying them utterly, and shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan, and Haran, and Rezeph, and the children of Eden which were in Thelasar? Where is the king of Hamath, and the king of Arpad, and the king of the city of Sepharvaim, of Hannah and
Iva?" All this bragging, he is writing now. This time, he's writing a letter. Not only saying, but giving a letter to him. And so he is saying, "Go and give this message to the Hezekiah." And the Hezekiah is listening this. Do you know what Hezekiah is supposed to do at that particular time? "God already spoke to me through the prophet and said this king is going to go to his land. And he's going to die. I'm not going to worry about his letter. I'm not going to worry about his threatening. Just burn the letter and just go to church and praise the Lord and thank God." But the fear didn't leave this man. The fear came in his heart, didn't know what to do. So see what he's doing now. Let's read verse 14.
"And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes, and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only." Then Isaiah the son of Amoz sent to Hezekiah, saying, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard."
Okay, now see, if this king would have done this thing that same time when he tried to give him hard time and he gave millions of dollars of gold, millions of dollars of silver, and scrape everything from the house of God, that time didn't come to him to go to the house of God and pray prayer like this. Even the Isaiah told him, don't you worry, because that man is going to go to his own country and he is going to die there. Don't you worry. But now the problem came. Now he is going to God. And he prayed and maybe cried to God and did very good prayer. When he prayed, God saying to Isaiah, go and tell this man your prayer is answered. And so God heard his prayer. And so Isaiah comes and gives him some kind of assurance and prophecy again to encourage this king. Go to the 2 Kings chapter 19. You are already there. Verses 32 to 34.
Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it, for mine own sake, and for my servant David's sake.
Now see, this is what Isaiah already told him before. Isaiah is saying, you didn't understand, let me tell you in a different way. He is not going to come to your land. He will not do any harm to you. The way he came, the way he is going to go, and he is not going to harm you. And so the message was very clear before, and the same message given to him in a different explanation. But the message is the same.
And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshipping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adrammelech and Sharezer, his sons, smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia. And Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead.
See, God told him that he will go back to his land and he will die in his land. But now see, he was bragging about his God and he was putting down the Israeli God, a Jewish God. What happened? When he went, the word of God says his army was still there, camping to destroy Israel. So the one angel came, and in that night, he killed how many? 185,000 people were killed by what? One angel. Israeli king or king of Judah didn't have to do anything. God was trying to show as Hezekiah, why are you so worried about the other kings? My one angel has so much power to kill 185,000 people in one single day or single night. That's the message for us. We don't have to worry about problems. Any problem, financial problem, enemies problem, food problem, job problem, any problem. Our God is great. He can handle any situation. God was showing to Hezekiah, you are afraid of Assyrian king. I already told you he is going to go and be killed in his own land. Do you know how he got killed? He went to his land. He went to his temple. He started worshiping his God. But his God was not able to save him. His own children came and killed him in the temple. So from that we know that God is false God. That God has no power to do anything. But here, the king is already killed. And now his army is sitting all around the Israeli camp or Judah's camp. One angel coming. and killing 185,000 men in one single-handed. Okay, we have a few minutes. We are going to finish the Hezekiah story. Okay, let's go to the chapter 20. And start reading from verse 1.
In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore.
Okay, now this time Hezekiah learned something. When I have a problem, I'm going to go to God. This time he did not say, Isaiah, could you come and help me? When the message came to him by the Isaiah the prophet, he did not argue him. He did not say anything, why are you giving this message? But he went to the Lord and crying and weeping and asking God to save his life. Let's read a little bit further.
And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake.
See, it was a very clear message. God gave the message to the prophet that you are going to die. Set your house in order. And when he cried, God says to Isaiah, could you go and tell him that I changed my mind? But the Isaiah is a servant of God. He did not say, Lord, you already told him he's going to die. I'm the one who gave the message. Now I'll go and tell him, no, you are not going to die. You're going to live and God is going to give 15 years. That I'm a liar. But Isaiah didn't say anything. He just said, go and say it. Isaiah comes, gives him the message. And so now he got the message, but still this man did not fully believe. Let's read.
And Isaiah said, Take a lump of figs. And they took it and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day?
Okay, now see what happens here. He had some kind of cancer, a boil of cancer, and because of that cancer, he was going to die. And so the God says, okay, I heard your prayer. I'm going to give you 15 more years, and you're not going to die. Then he says, the Isaiah took the leaf of fig leaf and put it there, and so it healed. Still this man thinking, that thing healed, but I don't think I'm going to live for 15 more years. I want to have some proof. And so now he did not believe, so he's going to ask him a sign. Even the man of God came and healed this man's wound. Still he didn't believe. Let's finish within a few minutes.
And Isaiah said, This sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he hath spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, It is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahab.
Isaiah said, Okay, whatever you ask, I'm going to pray. And exactly happened. And that means Hezekiah believed that I'm not going to die now, because God showed the miracle. Sometimes people need some fleas to believe. But we have to learn, if the word of God comes to you through the Bible, through the man of God, through the prophet, through the dream, through the vision, and God spoke to you, we should not be doubting. We should be believing. And now, one more mistake this man did before he died. So we are going to finish that. Let's read verse 12 to 21.
At that time, Berodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment, and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, that Hezekiah showed them not.
This Hezekiah gave all the silver, all the gold, scraping even the temple, and he did not have anything, just like he became a beggar, no money at all. Now within a short period of time, God gave him so much prosperity. Now he has so much gold, so much silver. Everything prosperity came to him. And somebody just wrote him a beautiful letter. You know, Hezekiah, we heard that you were sick. So, you know, this is just like a congratulation, you are doing okay. He would have said, thank you, king. But he said, come on, come and visit me. And he showed all the things what God gave it to him. And that was not good. You never show to your enemy your social security number, your bank book, your bank account, or even the bank number or your house or what you have.
Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day, shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord.
We are going to finish it here. And then we see Hezekiah was a little bit worried, but he says, is this going to happen in my time? Or I'll be all right. He said, okay, it's not going to happen in your life. And Hezekiah died after 15 years. But the point here I'm making, don't brag what you have. This man bragged about it, it's gone. The word of God says your treasure should be in heaven, so your heart will be there. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are a miracle-working God. We are not going to put our trust in man. Your word says, do not put your trust in man or kings, because our help comes from above. Let us trust in you. Your word says, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Let us trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.